Well, this morning, we are going to be talking about prayer and how important it is in our lives. I've got a couple of quotes here and a couple of books if you'd like to write these down. I know there's so many great ones that are out there. Just encourage you to continue reading, continue being hungry, and continue seeking to grow deeper in your faith. And prayer is certainly one of the things that people understand the least. I like the story about the little boy, and the pastor was asking him, "Do you pray?" And he said, "Yes, sir, I pray every night." "Oh, you do? That's wonderful. And what about in the morning? Do you pray every morning?" He goes, "No, I ain't scared in the morning." And for many of us, that's the only time when we're praying is when we're in crisis and when we're scared, when we're afraid. But the fact is, we are supposed to come to God and be with Him 24/7. We are called to pray without ceasing. Now, if you're driving, don't close your eyes. It's okay. You can just pray out loud. God knows your heart and as you are with Him. But there's a book by E.M. Bounds, and it's one of the classics on prayer. And I love the quote that's on the cover of it that says that man is looking for better methods. God is looking for better men. Man is God's method. Wow. That's deep. That we're all looking for the way that we can get to know God more. And we're trying this. And we do all kinds of things. We come to worship. We listen to music. And we spend time in prayer. There's so many different ways that we can get to know God. But yet most of us, unless we are forced into having that time with God, we just get about our lives and we just think to ourselves, well, we're just too busy to stop and pray right now. And yet, I like what the pastor had to say when he said, wow, there's so much I have to do today. I'm going to have to spend at least 4 hours in prayer. Most of us think the other way around. If we're busy, we don't have time to pray. We just need to get about the doing. But the fact is, we need to spend that time in prayer with God to make sure what we're doing is the right things and doing it in the right way that He would have us. Another one of books that I want to have lifted up to you is simply Prayer, Finding the Heart's True Home. And that's by Richard Foster. Many of you who are deep into the faith, you know Richard Foster. It's Prayer, Finding the Heart's True Home. Yeah, Prayer. Finding the Heart's True Home. And then one of my other favorites is kind of a fun one. He's a former United Methodist pastor who's became a real teacher in prayer. His name is Terry Teckel. And I think it's T-E-K-Y-L, Terry Teckel. And it's How to Pray After You've Kicked the Dog. How many of you ever just been so frustrated that you know you're supposed to pray, but you're so angry right now, you just got to do something? And unfortunately, sometimes the dog gets in the way. And so how do we pray when we're so frustrated and we're so uptight and after we've done something really silly that we're embarrassed about it and just say, how do we get into that prayerful mindset? I also like the story about Franklin Graham. As many of you know, that he grew up in the mountains, and somebody asked him one time, said, "How do you find your way around when you're going through all these? Don't all the mountains look the same and all the trees look the same and everything? And what happens if you get lost?" He said, "Simply, I go to the top of the mountain. From there, I can see everything clearly, and I can find my way home." I want you to think about that spiritually. That what we need to do is climb to the mountain of God, and that when we're lost, when we're confused, and we don't know which way to go, then we need to learn to be able to spend that time with God. And when we are right with God, and we are deep in that relationship, then He will lead us and guide us. I know some people say, well, I just feel so far away from God. And I've got a word for you this morning. You might be away from God, but God is not away from you. That's important that you hear that. You might be away from God, but God is not away from you. He is with you. And I will also ask you this, if you feel far from God, who moved? It's not God that has moved away from us. It's us who have forgotten about God, and we've gotten so busy, so caught up in our lives, that we forget to spend our time with Him. And so this morning, we're going to be taking a look at the passage in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5. And I'm going to go all the way through 15 on this one. Many of you know it. This is where we get the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to invite you to stand for the reading of God's holy word, Matthew chapter 6, 5 through 15. And it's in red, so Jesus said it. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God, and you may be seated. So I invite you, if you would like to follow along in your outline that's in the bulletin. And the first one here is that prayer is expected. Prayer is expected, and that comes from verse 5. It says, and when you pray. It doesn't say if you pray or when you think about it. It is a command from Christ that when you pray, pray like this. And so it's an expectation that's put on our hearts by Jesus Christ himself. And y'all remember the cell phone commercial a couple years back? And it was like, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? And you feel like sometimes you go into the black hole. In the subdivision that we used to live in, you could see people park all down the street because by the time you hit the stop sign, the coverage was out. And so people coming home from work or whatever it is, you'd see them lined up at the end of the block so that they would finish their phone call and then they could drive in on home. But for many of us, we fail to pray because we don't feel like it's not getting through. We don't feel like anybody's there. We don't feel like anybody's listening. We're not getting anything out of it. And we feel like we're in that black hole where we just keep pouring prayers into the black hole of nothing and nobody hears it and nothing happens. You might be away from God, but God is never very far from you. In fact, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he comes to live inside of you. He is with you. You are a new creation. And many of us are new creations that don't live like we're very new. We live like the old way. And I pray, folks, we have been praying for revival for about 2 years previously at Crossroads. We've been praying for it ever since I've gotten here. And the reality is revival will never come until the people understand the power of prayer and getting connected and being with God, understanding what prayer is really all about. Many of us don't pray because our prayers don't get answered. Many of us don't pray because we don't feel like God's really listening. Listen to this. The purpose of prayer is not to get God to do stuff. The purpose of prayer is for us to be in relationship with him. Is not to get God to align with our wills, but it's to help align us with his. And how can we do that if we're not spending time in prayer with him? Many of us only pray when we're in crisis. Boy, I tell you what, let a 9.0 earthquake hit the world. There's some prayer warriors out there. There's some people who hadn't called on God in a long time that are calling on God. And many of us are guilty of the same thing. The only time we really pray, in fact, for those of you who don't know it, I'm a bit of a rebel. Have you seen my Harley out there? You know, there's just something inside of me that likes shaking up the status quo. And the challenge is to help us get into a place where we break out of our sleepiness. You ready for it, Crossroads? Wake up! Wake up! There is so much more to being in relationship with God than coming on Sunday, giving Him our $3 worth, and getting our $3 worth of God back, and then spending all week long not thinking about Him, and then showing up hoping that God's going to do something good for us on that next Sunday. It's been a tough week. I hope God's got something for me today. I hope the preacher's good today. I hope he's on fire today. I'm really empty. I really need something. Well, the reason that we're empty and we need something is because we have neglected to be with God all week long. Amen. And folks, just so you don't feel alone or lost out here, I'm still working through this myself. And y'all are going to get sick of hearing about Brother Lawrence because that's the book that I'm in right now. And yet, it's so profound, and it's so simple, is that we need to be thinking about God 24/7, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, but 24/7. We should be aware of Him. And just because we are not aware of Him does not mean that He is not with us. We need to wake up. Like the Apostle Paul, we need the scales to fall off our eyes that we can see that He's right there and He's with us. And He wants to be in relationship with us. Prayer is not about getting God to do stuff. It's about developing the relationship with Him. Many of you have heard me talk about that in seminary, a professor made the analogy of the vending machine. And that what we want to do is put our quarters in and then punch the button for what we want. And if we don't get it, we start kicking the machine. There's somebody who once told me that he was an atheist because he was mad at God. You can't be an atheist and be mad at God at the same time. That's an oxymoron. It doesn't work. You can be mad at God or you can be an atheist, but you can't be both. But the fact is, most of us have stopped praying because we don't feel like anybody's listening. We stop praying because we're not really getting anything out of it. Now, I hope this is an encouragement to you. It was for me. Because how many of you admit to being ADD in your prayers? How many of you have started praying fervently in Christ and ended up writing out your grocery list? Yeah. You know what? It's okay. Just when you realize what you're doing, call yourself back to saying, oh, yeah. And in fact, what I'm trying to do is trying to be God conscious 24/7. And there will be lapses of time throughout the day. And all of a sudden, I'll realize I haven't been thinking about God. And I call out to Him and say, sorry, God, I'm back. I'm thinking about You. And I'm being with You. And it's funny, when you're thinking about God and when you're spending time with Him, then all of a sudden the things that we were thinking about or worry about, they don't seem to be as important anymore. All right. Number two is that we are called to pray in secret. That we are called to find a special place, a quiet place to pull ourselves aside. And I want to challenge you in this one, because some people think that means that we're not supposed to pray in church. It does not mean that we're not supposed to pray in church. What He's really doing in these few verses here is between 6 and 7 and 8, He's contrasting the people who pray for the wrong heart and the people who pray with the wrong motives and people who pray simply because they want to be in relationship with God. And that's what Jesus is saying. For those that pray out loud and they're making big flowery speeches and they use big seminary words and all that, they've already got their reward because the people around them are admiring them. Oh, listen to how wonderful they are praying. In fact, some of you, how many of you are intimidated to pray out loud because you know there's a better prayer in the room? A lot of us are. You know what the most honest prayer I've ever heard was? It was about a guy that had come to a small group that was a praying group. How many of you hate those small groups where you get up at the end of the and you hold hands together And before you know it, somebody starts, and then the next person to them goes, and the next person, and you think to yourself, crap. It's coming around to me. And so what you're not thinking about what they're saying. You're listening for a little bit of it, but you're trying to figure out what you can say that's equally as spiritual, as important as what they're saying. And then finally, you say, thank you, Lord, because you got something good. Nobody has said it before, and then the person right next to you says it. And you say, crap. Sorry. But just, you know what, cut through all the mess. And the reality is, for those of us who are skilled at this, what we have learned to say is not crap, but you learn to say is, Lord, I echo the prayers of my brothers and my sisters that have taken all the good things that I was going to say, but they already said it. We should be focused on what everybody else is saying. Yes, we should pray in accordance with them. Some people hate it when other people, somebody's praying and then somebody else is praying. Yes, Lord. Hear them, Lord. Lord, yes. You know what? I actually love that. Because it means somebody's paying attention. And that's what it means to pray in one heart and one accord. And when we are praying in groups, we should be paying more attention to what is being said and lifting that up as our prayer and not thinking about, what am I going to say when it gets to be my turn? The simplest prayer I ever heard was about a guy. His name was Howard. And he didn't know how to pray. And he was a room full of church Christians who knew all the right words to say. And it finally got to be his turn. And he finally just looked up and said, hey, Lord, it's me, Howard. How are you? Well, I'm not sure what to do here, but I just wanted to, I'm thinking about you. Amen. What a gut, honest prayer. Don't try to impress other people. If you pray to impress other people, then you already have your reward. The fact is, you probably don't get a reward because they're probably not that impressed anyway. Prayer is about us coming together in relationship, praying in one heart, one accord, in spirit. He says, pray in secret. My friends from Crossroads will remember this. We had 20 acres of cow pasture, and we had 10 acres of woods. And there was a trail that went out through the woods, and at the back of the trail, there was a creek that ran through it. And believe it or not, pastures sometimes have to get away. In fact, there's a saying that says, if you can get your pasture at any time, then you don't have a pasture worth getting. Because you want to know that you have a pastor that pulls himself away from everything, from cell phones and beepers and noise and confusion and computers, and just spend time with God in prayer. And I can feel it when I haven't done that. And it's like it just builds up, and you just have to get outside, and you have to go. And so I had a smaller motorcycle at the time, and it was one that could go through the trails. But unfortunately, it had been a while since I had been in the back, so the trails were overgrown. And by the time that I had jumped the motorcycle over about the fourth log, and I was nested in between branches and logs with the brown palmettos all around me and touching the motorcycle, I was praying, Lord, help me get out of this without setting the woods on fire. I mean, that's what I could see was, idiot pastor sets woods ablaze, you know? But the fact is that there was a place that I could drive my truck back into the back, and it would drive right into the woods, and I would be hidden from everybody. And I would just spend my time with God. Each of us needs to find a place to go in secret. Number three, we're called to keep it in simple from verses 7 and 8. God already knows what we need. If you don't know the big fancy church term for it, it's omniscience. God already knows everything. I used to get tickled when I used to think about Adam and Eve in the garden. And when in Genesis it reports that God came to the garden and says, hey, Adam, where are you? And it used to trouble me. It's like, if he's omniscient, then how come he's lost Adam. How come he doesn't know where Adam is? Well, anytime God asks the question and says, where are you? It's not for his benefit. He's saying, I know what you've done. I know the mistakes you've made. I know that you are hiding from me. You don't have to do that. You're my daughter. You're my son. Just come back. Come into the open and just be honest. God already knows our needs. I also love it when people gather together, and you should do this. If the power of prayer was to convince God to do something that he didn't already want to do, then we would have miracles every day when more people... When my mother was dying of cancer, my aunt, who is not very spiritual, she claims to be a Christian, which is great. Maybe she's a first grader. But she got on the internet that she doesn't know very well, and she sent out prayer requests across the world. We had prayers coming in from across the world. And yes, when we have prayed and we didn't get that answer for the prayer, and mom did pass away, she did die from the cancer, and many people would say, well, God didn't answer the prayers. Well, it's almost like that we think that if we have 40 people praying that God's going to answer the prayer, but we only got 39. Dadgum. We didn't get enough to change his mind. And the fact is, we are called to come to God in prayer. He already knows what we need, and just make it simple. Just put it out there. Remember, the point of prayer is not to align God with our wills, but to align us with God's. So here's the pattern for prayer. And being the rebel that I am, there's many times that I have refused to say this in church with people. And we actually say it every early service here, is the Lord's Prayer. And part of the reason that I have a challenge with saying this, because for so many people, it's become a rote prayer, R-O-T-E. It's just become methodical. It's something that we just naturally fall into. We don't even think about what we're doing. God is not honored when we just come to him with rote prayers. How many of you learned the bedtime prayer when, you know, now I lay me down to sleep? And then how many of you learned when you pray before your meals, God is great, God is good, let us... How many of you have ever sat down at the dinner table and go, now I lay me... Ooh, ooh, not that one, sorry, got confused. It means because we've gone into automatic mode. It means that we're not really thinking about what we're doing. And so my challenge to you is, yes, should you learn this prayer? Absolutely. Should you recite it? Should it be recited corporately? Absolutely, it should be. But think about what you're doing. Think about what it says. Think about the message that's in there. And so number four in the pattern for prayer is we start with praise. Many of us are admitted pessimists. We only see the glass half empty. And so we can never think to praise God because we're always half empty. We don't ever really look and say, you know what? Look at my glass. It's half full. How awesome is that? We have a tendency to look at the empty part of it and so, but God, I need more. I need more. Give me this. Fill the rest of my glass, then I'll praise you. And the fact is, we're called to start with praise. In Foster's book, he tells one of the great stories, and probably one of the reasons I think it's one of the great stories is he's kind of a rebel himself. He talks about going to a writer's convention, and he said he usually enjoys the banter, and yet there was something that was troubling his spirit and his heart, and he knew that he needed to withdraw. And so when a break came, he just took off. He was on a retreat center near the Canadian border, and he was surrounded by beautiful rivers and waterfalls and trees, and he decided to go down this path and just see where it led him. And the farther he got, he said, the more and more exhilarating the walk became, because he knew that he was walking with the presence of God in the cool of the day. And as he's getting farther and farther away from the retreat center, farther and farther away from the busyness of the world, he's being drawn more and more to the roar of the rushing waterfall. And when he gets there, it is so deafening and so loud, and he was so exhilarated that he began to shout his praises at the top of his voice, knowing nobody else but God could hear him. You don't have to raise your hand. But how many of you have ever been so exhilarated you've actually shouted your praise to God, not wondering or worrying about what anybody else is thinking? Most of us are thinking, I hear people that shout in church, but we don't go to those churches for a reason. How would it be if we started worrying more about what God thinks about us than everybody else? Part of the reason I love the contemporary movement is because it calls people to get out of themselves. I love it. We had somebody from the early service who came up to Bob a few weeks back and said, I'm sorry. I have been so against this contemporary service and this loud music. But we've been going through the Psalms, and it says to enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise and with clanging and clashing of cymbals. And so she says, I don't promise that I'm going to like it, but I'll promise to be more tolerable and try to listen to appreciate it more. How awesome is that? Start with praise. If you don't know how to praise, get into the Psalms. If you don't know where the Psalms are, it's right in the middle. Just open up your Bible right in the middle. And it looks like Psalms, but it's really Psalms. It's a silent P there. But in the psalmist, it's so evocative because when he's angry, he lets God know he's angry. It's okay. But also when he praises, he just lifts it up from the heart and praises God. And many of us could learn how to praise him by reading the Psalms. Number five is to submit to God's will. Submit to God's will. Most of us don't like submitting to anything. We want to be in control. We want God to do our will instead of us being aligned with his will. One of the purest prayers that I think in all of history. And in fact, Richard Foster lifts it up and he calls it from, you know, the lesson from Gethsemane. Is Jesus Christ in Gethsemane before he was given up, and when he took some of the other disciples with him and said, just simply pray with me, and they fell asleep. How many of you ever fell asleep praying? Yeah. Yeah. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he kept praying and he kept praying. And I want you to hear this. He prayed his will. There is absolutely nothing wrong with praying your will. God, here it is. Here's my heart. I'm praying it out for you. When I was a young pastor, I was afraid to pray for some people because they wanted healing. They're 96 years old, for crying out loud. How much healing can there be? Their days are numbered. And what if I pray for them and they don't get better? I used to worry about that until I learned that it's okay from Jesus to pray our will. And now when I pray for everybody, I pray for healing. And I'll let God sort it out from there. Amen? It's okay to pray your will. But listen to this. Listen to how he ends the prayer. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. You see, when we come to God and we just pour it out, we get to that place of this emptiness, this kenosis, where we have just emptied ourselves of everything. And then can we be ready to receive? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I also want you to listen to this. If you're ever one of those that has had your prayer not answered, the Son of God did not get the answer he was looking for. You got to know. I love what Ruth Graham Bell said, or Ruth Bell Graham. She said, if God had answered every prayer, I'd have married the wrong man three times over. Sometimes there's a reason that God says no. And Christ knew. He was just emotional and pouring it out. God knew. There was no other way. And so he had to give himself up to the cross. Scripture is full of people who didn't get their way. Abraham did not want to bring Isaac for sacrifice. Moses did not want to leave the comfort of his anonymity and living far away from all the anxieties and the worries of the Israelites, and yet he gave it up, afraid to be the spokesperson for them. But God said, you need to go. David ended up giving up his son with Bathsheba, just praying, pouring his heart out before God, and then letting it be his will. Mary gave up her future, and Paul gave up his healing. Prayed three times for the Lord to take the thorn from his flesh, and each time the Lord came back to him and said, my grace is sufficient. Sometimes God allows the thorns to stay in our lives so that we keep coming and counting on him for his grace. Amen? Number six. I got a sad amen on that one. Amen. All right. Number six, pray for our daily needs. And this is really important because we have the tendency to worry about the futures. Can I see about the hands of the worriers in the room? Anybody? Okay. We like to control everything. We want to worry what's going to happen with this and what's going to do with that. What's going to happen here? This is not easy because I'm in your number. I'm those one that analyzes everything. I try to think through everything ahead of time. And if I can't make it work, then you don't want to be around me because I'm mad. I'm frustrated. I'm trying to work it out. But the fact is, pray for our daily needs. And a little bit farther in chapter 6, Jesus says, do not worry. It was not an invitation. It was a command. Do not worry. Which one of you can add a single hour of your life by worrying? In fact, how many of us have taken hours out of our life by worrying about things that we cannot control? He says, don't worry about your future. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Each day has trouble enough. Pray for our daily needs. Lord, you know what my needs are. Help me meet the needs for today and today alone. Number seven is pray for forgiveness. Somebody say, uh-oh. Yeah, because I went ahead and read all the way through 15 because I want you to hear the condition that God puts on his forgiveness of us. This is a hard teaching. I don't like this teaching. But the fact is, we have to take God on his terms and not ours. And what he's telling us in that we are called to pray for forgiveness. Now listen to this. Our forgiveness is conditional on how we forgive others. What does it say in 14 and 15? Because if you don't forgive them, neither will my Father forgive you. Somebody say, ouch. Yeah. How many of you are holding on to bitterness, to anger, to frustration? How many of you have something that just continues to eat at you because somebody has hurt you? Remember, in forgiveness, it's not saying it's all right. It's not saying what they did is okay. It's not letting them off the hook, because God makes it clear. He is the only perfect one, and he alone should be the judge. How many of you have set out to set somebody straight, and you found out at the end of the conversation, you're the one that needed to be set straight? Yeah. How about God's way? And here's the deal. I know how hard it is. There are people that I'm still struggling with letting go of that anger and that frustration, that bitterness. What they did was wrong. Yeah, it really was wrong. But the fact is, the more time you spend with God, you begin to turn it over to him and say, God, you know what? You take it. You handle it. You deal with it. Let your justice reign. And then when you do that, then you can come to the place of actual forgiveness in your heart for this person who has hurt you. Then and only then can we be the kind of people that Jesus really wants us to be. And finally, number 8 is to pray for spiritual protection. I like there's a song by Paul Aldrich, who's a comedian. And he said, "Lead us not into temptation, for I can find it all by myself." And while that's kind of cute, I want you to understand that the battle we face is a spiritual battle. That in Ephesians chapter 6, many of you are familiar with the armor of God, to put on the full armor of God. And the whole reason we are put on the armor of God, he says, because the battle that we face is not against flesh and blood. Tie that back into the forgiveness. We're not really angry with them. We're angry with the evil spirits that are causing them to do what they're doing. And so it's really a spiritual battle. And the only thing that we can do to battle the spiritual battle is to come to Christ. Listen to this. God and God alone is the creator of the world. He created the angels and the demons just a little bit lower, and then we are down below them. We do not have power over them. And we're going to talk about spiritual warfare in a couple of weeks here, because it's so important. You can't understand or appreciate the power of God in your life until you understand and appreciate the power of dark and evil forces. I actually had the opportunity to pray with someone this week who I believe was fully possessed. I hope that scares some of you. I hope it shakes you up, because there are so many milquetoast Christians that want to believe the good news about Jesus, but they don't want to believe the bad news about Satan. And they're running around like a hot ostrich with their... Can you run around with an ostrich with your head stuck in the sand? I don't know if you can do it. Mixing metaphors, but you got the point. You get what I'm saying. We only want it one way. But the fact is, you have to understand the battle. You cannot appreciate the power and the love of Christ to vanquish sin in our lives until you understand the dark and evil forces that we are up against. So I want to call your attention to Ephesians chapter 6 and 10 and following for the armor of God, and that we need to pray for his protection. So it says when the flaming arrows of the demons and of Satan, as he keeps putting them, that we will be able to ward them off by coming to God in prayer. And you know what? I know it's late. And y'all need to pray for me, because I keep trying to stop shorter and it's not happening. Well, you know what? I mean, I make a joke about it, and I tried for years at Crossroads, so don't take hope that I'll ever get shorter, because I prayed for years at Crossroads I'd get shorter, and it never happened there either. And my little joke is that there's two words for time in Greek. One is chronos. That's a chronology. That's where we get the word from, like the time on your watch. And my deal is, when you show up late, that's chronos. Kairos is God's timing. When I go long, it's God's timing. I'm just saying. And I pray that when you come to church until church is done. I know you're getting tired. I know you're thinking it's past 12. I know you're thinking the Baptists are already there. They're God ahead of us. Who'd have thought a Methodist preacher would go longer than a Baptist one? But actually, Charlie, I'm going to call on for you for just a minute, buddy. Would you come up and play for us, just kind of noodle along on your guitar? Can you do that? I think you can. I believe in you. And what I want to do for the next few minutes, as Bob and I have talked about this, is sometimes we talk about things, but we don't do it. So what I'd like to do is give you some time to absorb the message, the lesson that God has placed in your heart. There's 8 points here. You must have got something somewhere along the way. Maybe it's because you want to repent because you haven't spent enough time with God. Maybe it's because you're holding on to bitterness or to anger against somebody else and you need to forgive them, and God's touched your heart in that way. Maybe it's because you just simply want to have a better, deeper relationship with God. So I'm going to ask us, as Charlie just kind of plays behind us here, and I'm going to invite you, if you would like to come down to the altar. The altar is open. This is your time with God. You do not come to the altar because you want somebody else to see how troubled you are or how spiritual you are. You come to the altar because you want to kneel before the throne of God and just not worry about anybody else. For the rest of you, I invite you just please quietly remain seated. If you have to leave, leave. I get chronos as well. But I want you to be respectful of the time that we have here. And then also, I want to respect your time at the altar, but if you have something that you would like somebody to pray with you about, then just simply raise your hand. Either I or one of our leaders will come and will pray. I'm going to invite you to be in a spirit of prayer. And if you would like, the altar is open. Please come. Father, we make our confession before you this morning that we have not loved you with our whole heart. Lord, we admit to being caught up with things of the world and concerns and our fears of the world. Lord, we have allowed Satan to get into our lives and to keep us so busy that we can't focus on you. Many of us admit to being ADD in our prayers. And Lord, that's okay. Help us with the discipline to keep fighting through that, to keep coming back to you. Lord, I just pray that you be with each one of us, that we would find a quiet time that we can pull away. And Lord, that we can be with you in the spirit of prayer. But also, Lord, I just pray that even as we're working, as we're with our children, and just as we're working or with our and we're in the traffic, whatever it is, Lord, we are not too busy to just spend our time with you, to be aware of you. Help us to pray for the people around us. Help us to pray for our homes and for our spouses, our marriages, for our relationships. Lord, help us to pray for our church. And Lord, as we have been calling for revival in this place, we know that revival starts with the power of your Holy Spirit sweeping through the room. Lord, we invite you here by the power of your Spirit to come through, to be with us, to touch our hearts, to touch our minds. Father, help us to forget about Chronos. Lord, Father, just teach us to spend our time and to be with you. Lord, we just pray for this revival. We pray for the spirit of prayer. And teach us to pray as Christ taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.